I'm Mike McCurdy. Stories continue to mount about Trump administration efforts to deny entry of foreign nationals into this country. But Illinois State University President Larry Dietz says that's not yet had a big impact on the size of the contingent of foreign national students. In this interview with GLT's Charlie Schlenker, Dietz says this comes at a time when ISU is trying to increase its count of international students.
Of the countries that have been named, we haven't been doing a lot of work in those countries anyway, and so we really have not seen an impact on that other than increasing some anxiety of some students who are here and wondering about going home and those kinds of things. But overall, we are only at 2% of our entire population are from other countries, so our numbers are very small, and we don't have a desire to get up anywhere around, some other sister institutions that have, very high percentages or higher percentages than we do. So we're going to be, again, doing kind of a steady Eddie approach to this. And so students that we've talked to, they still want to come to the United States. They still want to pursue an education here. An education from the U.S. is highly valued, and I don't think that we're having the kind of issues that some other places do.
Is the general climate, though, of the administration's policy toward immigrants causing some of the students to say, I would like a U.S. education, but if I'm looking for that to turn into a job, perhaps I should look at Europe instead?
Well, there's always been a dynamic issue with international students. The UK has been very aggressive as a country for international students. Australia and New Zealand have also been very aggressive. But I would say that the quality issue for the United States is really a very positive one, and that our reputation in both undergraduate and particularly in graduate higher education has been one that people from all over the world hope that they can have access to and get a degree in, and that will help them in the job market. So I would say, we've got to continue to work to counter the mystique out there that we're still not a welcoming country, and we are welcoming institutions within the United States, and I think that's the most important part.
On the international student recruitment front, you recently made a trip to China. What did that result in?
Well, it was a very focused trip. We went to two institutions. One was Southwest University in Chongqing. I'd never been there before. It's the largest city in all of China, which is really saying something. They have 32 million people in that city, and Southwest University has a lot in common with Illinois State University, and they've already committed to sending a number of faculty members here for, matter of fact, starting next month, who will be here for a while, working with our faculty across a number of disciplines. And so we're excited about that. The other institution that we visited was Tsinghua University in Shanghai. And they have an interest in what we will call a 2+2, which generally oftentimes means that students will spend a couple of years at the institution in China, come here and wrap up degrees here in the remaining 2 years. So they have a number of students that are interested, particularly in the College of Fine Arts, and that numbers expanding to some of our other colleges as well. And so they're interested in them having an international experience and that international experience at Illinois State. So it's very fruitful, and we're looking forward to working with those two institutions in the future.
How many kids do you think you'll get out of that agreement?
The initial conversation is 100. And again, that will be about 20 a year for several years as a ramp up to about 100.
And put that in scale with the other international population on campus now, would you?
Well, we're working on the other international populations, too. So, China obviously is the most populous country in the world. But our international program is going to be diverse, and we will have more Chinese in that program, but we're also going to have students from other parts of the world, too. I just met this last week with folks that are coming in from Panama, and so we're looking really at all the continents, not just one.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're speaking with ISU President Larry Dietz, as we do from time to time. The Harvey Weinstein effect in the national moment and national conversation has been pronounced, and we're starting to see that trip over into higher education. In Hollywood, there are, of course, power differentials between studio heads and actors and actresses and directors and cast members, And in higher education, there is certainly a power differential between students and professors. It's not a new issue. Is it rising in prominence even in higher education because of this moment?
You know, I was talking with our director of the Office of Equal Opportunity just the other day about this, and we have not seen a spike in complaints. There is a lot more conversation about this issue, and I think it's a societal issue that permeates our entire society. We've not seen any kind of spike in complaints, but I know that the rhetoric is getting a lot more heated. The number of individuals at national levels are really affecting, I think, the national commentary around this. And so we have a number of protocols in place that and through our orientation programs, we'll talk to faculty and particularly new faculty in their orientation about the importance of maintaining some distance between themselves and their students, still being interested in their intellectual development, but not pressing the personal part to the point where anybody is feeling feeling harassed or feeling this power differential. I'd say it exists, but I would also say that I think it's a really good thing that there are a lot of people that are coming out of the woodwork. I think it's healthier for those individuals who may have repressed this for many, many years. And that rhetoric is being very positive on the campus and well-received by the students. And so we've not seen a big uptick, but we've seen an uptick in the conversation. I think that's very healthy.
Do you think there will be an uptick? Since they're in politics and in the entertainment industry, there has been apparently this undercurrent for decades that has not been addressed.
Yeah, I don't. I wouldn't put academe in the same realm.
Why not?
As entertainment and politics.
Human beings are essentially messy, though.
That's right.
What distinguishes academia from those other two platforms?
Well, I just think it's a higher level of conversation that happens in the classroom. I'm sure, many institutions in the country have had instances, particularly in the past, of, a professor dating a student, whether they, did that while they were in a class with them or they were doing that, after the class was over, and probably some marriages have. I know some folks that have marriages that have come out of that. But it's a different situation now, and I think folks are a lot more careful about what they're doing with that. And so I don't see the uptick, again, in the number of complaints. I have seen an uptick in the conversation, and I think that uptick is very, very good. Many of our students, and I was meeting with some of our student leaders the other day, and our student athletes organization, the head of that is a young man who is also leading a charge of with the It's On Us campaign, which is basically that there needs to be a lot of education and a lot of attitude change on the part of young men and young men, women, for that matter, to talk about issues before those issues become something that neither party may have agreed to. And so communication is a critical part of all this.
What are the institutional safeguards that ISU has in place to try to address and prevent this issue?
We have a number of protocols. Matter of fact, some of our policies, we have one that goes all the way back to 2002, so this is not a recent thing at all. But part of our language and our consensual relations and instructional settings policy talks about the faculty members have an ethical obligation not to initiate nor enter into consensual, amorous, romantic, and/or sexual relationships with students or others during the time that the faculty member is in a position to evaluate or supervise the partner in the relationship, and also that faculty members should be aware that there can be a perception of subtle yet powerful elements of coercion even in apparently consensual relationships, and as a result, such relationships are particularly vulnerable to charges of sexual harassment. And so this policy goes on for about another page and a half, and I won't read all of that. But I think
we thank you.
But I think, you know, having some policies, making people aware of those policies, and we do that in orientation sessions and in other ways, I think really helps to educate.
You know, human resources departments didn't stop Charlie Rose or Matt Lauer from happening. Do policies like this, can they really prevent problems from happening, particularly at the graduate student level, where a student may be fully committed to an area of research or scholarship, and there's only one or two professors on any campus that are able to address that need or that desire? I mean, they're going to be, in raising objections, should the objections be needed, they're going to be putting their future at risk.
Right, right. Well, I think it goes back to the point that you made, and that human beings are messy. And is there a possibility that, the instances that you mentioned at the national level could happen on a college campus or our college campus? And the answer to that is that there's always a possibility. But I do think that the most important thing we can do, we can't follow either students or the faculty or staff members around all the time, and we wouldn't want to do that. But by the same token, I think the most important thing we can do is to let people know what the parameters are, educate them about that, and be available to individuals who have felt that they have been harassed in some way, shape, or form, and respond to those kind of allegations very quickly, and take action as quickly as we can after we've investigated that. And we're prepared to do that investigation and to take action quickly if, in fact, that we find that our policies have been violated.
You said there's been no uptick so far at ISU. What is the average? I mean, it happens from time to time. How often does it happen that things are reported?
Yeah, I don't have those numbers with me today. It's not, I would say it's not the large numbers. I mean, if we had large numbers, it would be a different thing. But to me, it's not the numbers as much as it is the individuals, because all those numbers represent specific individuals with concerns, and we want to make sure that we handle each of those in a professional, caring way, and also we want to make sure that individuals who maybe have allegedly been harassing someone, we want to make sure that there's some protections on that side as well. So, and that's what the investigation does. Our new director of OEOA, Tony Walesby, is a national expert in this field and Title IX issues, and we also have provided him some additional funding for programming and awareness, not only on this topic, but other issues related to his office. So you can never do enough, but we're doing more than we've done previously.
Which brings up the idea that the administration bears some responsibility for fostering and promoting the conversation that you say is on the uptick. What more does Tony plan to do, or does the rest of the campus plan to do in a formal, structured way?
Well, again, there's programming. We're in the middle of an academic year, and we oftentimes will bring in a few new folks in the middle of the year. Generally, the larger numbers come in the fall, obviously, and so this has become a part of our orientation programming for new faculty and staff. We also talk about it to our students in the open houses and preview programs that we have for students. And so I think making everybody aware, regardless of the role they're playing in the institution, is a big deal, and Tony and his staff have really done a good job of that.
ISU President Larry Dietz spoke with GLT's Charlie Schlenker. Dietz says he's also relieved a proposal to tax graduate student tuition waivers has not made it into the final version of the GOP tax bill Congress will vote on later this week. Dietz says the next legislative threat to colleges and universities is pending in the reauthorization of the Higher Education Act. He says there's a proposal to change the interest deferment on student loans. Currently, interest rates are deferred until graduation. Dietz says charging interest while a student is still in school would hurt the ability of students to afford an education. You're listening to Sound Ideas.